Lord, this morning I honestly feel a bit inadequate in bringing this message that I felt you laying on my heart, God. As Lord, I know that you are actually the only one that can do a work in our heart, Lord. You are actually the only one that can speak into us in a way that we actually change, Lord. And I know that I want to pray this regularly, Lord. That as Paul said, Lord, I don't even feel like I have the eloquent words this morning, Lord, but we don't want to come with an eloquent word every Sunday morning, God. We want to come with by a demonstration of your spirit, Lord, that you would speak into hearts, Lord, yes. That you would come and change all of us this morning, myself included, and yes. By your word and that which you are saying, God. So we bring our hearts before you, God. We truly trust, Lord, that you would you'd come and shape us and form us and come and cut deep into our hearts so that we become a people more reliant on you, more a people that would cry out to you even more. Amen. Amen. So, honestly, this morning, Kala is right. It felt like we could actually stop the morning after the worship because it felt like they said better what I want to say. It came out better in the worship. It was just an incredible sense of God bringing us back to a place where He wants us to realize yet again that it's not in our own power that we can do anything. It's not in our own power that we can become more like Him. It's not in our own power that we can strive to become better Christians. But it's only by Him. And when we actually come in our own strength and try and do it ourselves, instead of relying and being in that reliant relationship with God, we actually just waste our time. And we actually are not going to get very far. And even when we look at scriptures like Sean read this morning, it actually even seems like God detests it when we try and come in our own strength. But the problem is, I think all of us at certain times try and come to God and try and ask God to make us more like Him and become more holy in our own efforts instead of being totally reliant on God, saying, God, you are the one that saved me supernaturally. You are the one that will sanctify me, make me more like you supernaturally. I mean, that's the challenge for us. So I want to start a bit differently, maybe while I still have sound. And I'm going to read you, it's actually a small article. I posted it onto my Facebook this morning if anyone wanted to go see. Or it's on the 412, it was posted during this week on the 412 Facebook page. You can go check it out there. But it's a testimony of a guy that I actually know, and I've had the privilege of speaking to him and seeing how God has transformed his life over the last few years. And he posted this testimony anonymously to just testify of the work that God has done in his life specifically. And as I read through the testimony, I'm going to cut out bits of it so that it doesn't get too long. And I'm going to ask that you try and concentrate with me as long as possible as I read through it. But as he reads it, I want you to hear two things. I want you to listen out for the supernatural work of God in his salvation, meaning the moment he got saved, the moment his life was transformed and God made him a new person. And then also I want you to listen out to how God supernaturally keeps changing him. And we call that sanctification, right? So we've got Bible words for this. Justification, when we give our lives to God, when he makes us a new creation. Sanctification, becoming more like Christ, becoming holier as he transformed us. And I want you to listen out into how impossible it seems that God would come and transform his life. But God comes and he saves this guy. And not only that, supernaturally, he keeps on working in him and he makes him more and more like Jesus. And he does a work of restoration, which Jesus does in all of our lives, actually. I'm gonna go for it and read through it. So try and just follow with me. It says, we all have a story. They're all different. And some are filled with more destruction than others. But that does not mean that any of us need more saving than another person. Outside of Christ's saving grace, we are all in the same position. I've been saved for several years now and have been married for two of those years. My wife and I are also the proud parents of a beautiful, healthy baby. Many folks who don't know our backstory would look at us and describe us as quite the picture-perfect little family. Yet none of what we have would be possible if it wasn't for God's incredible power and grace that is evident in our lives and our young family. And he explains, I was born into a broken and dysfunctional home environment. My parents were, and still are to a degree, very broken people. My dad favored my brother and my mom favored me. It was only later in life that I figured out that my dad resented my mom and so rejected me, the child she idolized. The severe rejection I experienced from my dad drove me closer to my mom to an unhealthy degree. There was also physical abuse while growing up, and my dad would often beat us out of anger, frustration, and because he was too drunk to care about what he was doing. I'm going to skip a bit. Years later, I would realize that my being rejected by my dad, I would also be rejecting manhood in itself, as my dad was the primary representation of that for me. Rejecting manhood would mean that I would not grow up into my own masculine identity and would end up craving it in another man. And then just to skip a bit. I started drinking and smoking at the age of 14 and kept alcohol in my school locker to drink between classes. I also started stealing things and experimenting with same sex and with the occult. The truth was that my self-hatred and my brokenness meant I craved self-destruction. Soon after school, I ended up fully submerged in a gay lifestyle. I was introduced to drugs by a friend who bought me LSD for my 18th birthday. And from then on, I would go on drug binges, sometimes for days. All I wanted to do was forget. I had a number of boyfriends over the years, but the relationships never lasted very long. I was always very unsatisfied with the situation and usually unfaithful. No matter how hard I tried not to do so, I always ended up doing the same thing my father did. Verbal, emotional abuse, sometimes even physical. This carried on for years. Drugs, partying, relationships, anonymous sexual encounters. It was at this stage of my life that I reached the tipping point. I was either going to keep on and end up dead or riddled with disease, or I could get some help. And he explains a bit into the help that he got. And then he says, a year later, however, I found myself desperate and arrived at Josh Jane's doors. It was here that I gave my life to Jesus. I found God and I found family, but most of all, I found peace. I broke off the relationships and began to process a process of God restoring my broken and messed up life and heart. Coming to know Jesus didn't mean that immediately my human struggles were taken away. I still battled with strong same-sex feelings. He goes on. Despite God's amazing restoration in my life, I never thought it possible that I could get married. To become a husband, and even more so a father, had been a deep desire of my heart throughout my whole life, even when I was living a gay lifestyle. But I kept ignoring it, never thinking it was possible. One day, however, I felt God clearly say to me that He had marriage in His plan for me. I buried that word in my heart and asked Him to confirm it many times over the years, as my faith wavered at times. And as I waited to see Him provide, a day came, and I'm almost at the end. So the day came when God took His word and showed me the fulfillment of it. From zero sexual attraction to women in general, and even my own wife throughout most of our dating and even engagement time, to a marriage, to being married to my best friend who gets my heart racing like no other. It hasn't been a smooth road, and at times it has felt like we're definitely walking the rocky and far less traveled road. But God continues to show His faithfulness. The devil has a plan for each one of us, and he will specifically attack us in the areas where God has called us to overcome in. Thankfully, God has given us everything we could possibly need to overcome in this life. And I'm telling you, this is really an incredible testimony for me, because I've seen this guy, I've seen the little boy, met his wife, I've seen the restoration that God has done in his life. And I can honestly say that without the power of God, without God intervening in his life, number one, he would never have gotten saved. And number two, God would never have intervened and sanctified him to the person he is today. And I want to say the exact same thing is true of your life. Firstly, I'm speaking to save. Here we go. Okay, I'm gonna try my best. If you can't hear, then you can maybe just come forward, come sit a bit closer. But firstly, this morning I'm speaking to save people. People have given their lives to Jesus. You've given over, right? And you know that if I really get to your story, if I could sit down with you and ask you to explain to me how that salvation took place, how God came and He plucked you out of the kingdom of darkness, as the Bible says, and placed you into his marvelous light, how he made you a new creation, if I was to ask you, how did that happen in your life? What was it? To an extent, there'd be different stories. One would say, I started reading the Bible, or a friend spoke to me, or I went to church, or any of those things. But at the heart of the issue, at the core of the issue, when it comes to salvation, if I had to ask you, what happened? How did you get saved? How did God pluck you out? Every one of you, if you're really saved, and if this is not your answer, then you might need to reconsider a bit. But every one of you would say it was totally and utterly a work of God. It was only his grace. There's nothing I did that could have done that for me. There's nothing I did that could have made me a new creation. It was only God that did a supernatural work in me. It was his strength and not mine. And so we learn, like Kala said this morning, to boast in our weakness with regards to our salvation. To say, I couldn't have done it. My works never stacked up. And non-Christians don't understand this sometimes. They think they need to let their works stack up. But if you've truly got to say, you'd understand that you were never good enough. Your works never stacked up enough to get to the bar that God sets for us. You could never do it. But then, as we go on with our journey, and that's what God did for this guy that I read about now. But as we go on with our journey, you know what? We forget that lesson that we learned through salvation, and we take matter into our own hands when it comes to our sanctification. We think it was a supernatural work of God in the beginning, but now as I go, I mix the grace of God with the power that I have, and I try and make myself more like Jesus through my own effort. And as much as it was a supernatural work with salvation, it's a supernatural work with sanctification. It is only God that can make you look more like God. Amen. You can't do it. You cannot do it. You can try your best. You can try your utmost. You can work yourself to the bone. You can try and look like a Christian outwardly, but nothing will change on the inside if it is not for the grace of God intervening in your life and doing a work in you. That's why Jesus was so angry at the Pharisees. He says, you're like whitewashed tombs, meaning the outward looks nice, it looks pretty, it looks nice and whitewashed. But inside there's death, there's rotting, because you're not allowing me to transform you from the inside out. Salvation, sanctification, the grace of God is the only thing that can do that for you. And so obviously that's something that's for us. It's an issue. And I want to say, I think every one of us sitting here, it will be an issue for you at some point. And maybe, hopefully this morning, your eyes get opened up to the places where it's issues. Because as it gets opened up, maybe you'll lean into God more and you'll be changed more, actually. That which you're trying to do, if you do it the right way and you lean into God, it will actually happen. It won't just be outside, but it'll be inside. But thankfully, thank God, that we're not the only people that have ever struggled with this. In fact, specifically in the Bible, there's a church, the church in Galatia, the Galatians, that Paul, when he wrote to them, he specifically addressed this issue because they, the Bible word for this is, they started in the Spirit, meaning they realized it's the Spirit that saves me and the Spirit alone, not my strength. But then they went over into the flesh thinking their sanctification could be their work. And this is, I'm reading out of the Message version. It says it quite well. Galatians 3 verse 1 to 4, and I'm just cutting out a little bit to make it read a bit easier. He says, you crazy Galatians, did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? He's like, are you stupid to try and think that that could ever happen? Let me put this question to you. How did this new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God? Or was it only by responding to God's message to you? Meaning it was grace. This is how it began. Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people think they could complete in their own effort what was begun by God. If you weren't smart enough or strong enough to begin it, how do you suppose that you could ever perfect it? Right? He's saying, open up your eyes. You will never be able to perfect what was started by God. The only way for you to perfect it is for you to lean into God. To say, God, I cannot do it. Your grace can do it. And so when we start reading the Bible, there's these Bible words that actually, it just pounds this message in again and again and again and again as you read through the Bible. And so I maybe want to read a few of those scriptures to you where God is actually making very clear. It's not even... It's not even that it's that God wants us to stay away from a little bit of trying to do it on your own. He's saying you can't do it on your own in any way. Because I think that's what many of us do. We say, no, I know that it's only God, but there's at least something that I can bring to the party. No, you cannot bring anything to the party. It is only the grace of God. Romans 8, verse 8 to 9. I'll just read it for you. You don't have to go there. You can check it out afterwards. And when it speaks of these two realities, many times it speaks of the flesh. You'll hear, as Sean read this morning, it says when we try and do it in our own strength, the Bible calls that our flesh. It's my body. I'm doing it. And other times it calls it the law, meaning I can keep these standards of God. I can do it. On the other hand, when we lean into the grace of God and allow Him to change us, the Bible speaks of grace. It says you are operating in grace, and the Bible word is also in the Spirit. I'm leaning into the Spirit to come and change me. So Romans 8, verse 8 to 9, it says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And He's not speaking to unbelievers. He's not saying this is the way of salvation. He's speaking of sanctification here. You cannot please God if you are in the flesh. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Just a bit on in verse 12 and 13. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live according to the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Meaning, I don't have a clue what the next step in God is for you. It's different for all of us. For some, it's going to be you wanting to overcome certain sins in your life. For some, it's going to be trusting God for a marriage partner, a life partner. For some, it's going to be you trusting God. God, I want to be more intimate with you. I don't know what it is. But He's saying, if you come to that place where you try and do it in your own flesh, it's never going to work. But lean into the Spirit, and God will do those things for you. And Romans 8, verse 14, if we go on a bit further, he carries on with this thing. Again, he says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You get what he's saying? He says you can't combine the two and you can't have flesh. It's only by the Spirit of God that you become a child of God. If you come to a place of absolute surrender, of saying, God, you are the one that can do this in my life. So I want to just help you illustrate, because I want this thing to sink in quite deep. About 2 weeks ago, we did you call it an adventure race, is the thing's name. So what it basically works like is you get a map, and then some of the people were there with me that are here this morning, you get a map, and then on this map, you need to get to certain points, and you need to follow the map to get to certain checkpoints, and you go through this day. It's a 12-hour adventure race. It took my team 15 and a half hours to complete. So we walked into the camp at about 11:35 that evening, just before midnight. We stumbled into the camp, dead tired, busy since 8 o'clock in the morning, cycling, rowing, walking through the mountains. I was dead tired, okay? But the whole thing about this thing is you need to follow a map to be able to get to where you're at. And thankfully, I have enough sense in me to know that I suck at directions and I suck with maps. So I just stood on the side and followed wherever they were going, okay? So I want to take you, I just want you to imagine for a moment, you doing this adventure race. You on this race, okay? And you get two options, but imagine you are like me, because some of you are good with maps. But imagine you like me, horrible. I don't get what's going on that map. It's never going to work. You on this adventure race, let's call it life, okay? And this life adventure race, you come to the race and you get two options to get to the end of this race, right? The organizer says to you, I'm giving you these two options. On the one hand, I'll give you a map and you can get there yourself. It has all the answers. It's not like it's wrong, but you can get, and it just make it very complicated. Those of you who have been in the race of life, you'll know it's very complicated and it's very confusing at times and you don't always know where to go. He says, but on the other hand, what I want to give you, so I want to give you another option. I'm going to send a guide with you. The person that actually organized this old race, I'll send the guide with you and he'll show you the way. Which one are you going to pick? Huh? Option two. I'll give you the right answer. It's option two. If you were wondering. You'll pick option two. But I'm telling you, all of us sitting here, you know what we pick? Option one and two. We say, I'll use the map until I get stuck. Then I'll call out and hopefully the guide is close enough and the guide will come and help me. And as soon as the guide has helped me out of this mess when I'm in a wood and I don't know where to go, the guide has helped me. And now I'll say, okay, thank you, guide. I'll go back to the map. I'll do it in myself. The map refers to our own strength. I can do it. It's my power. The guide refers to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit following God, leaning into Him, following His power, knowing that He is actually the only one that can get us to where we need to go. And the Holy Spirit obviously is many times referred to as a guide for us in the Bible. And so I know that for me in my life, this has been a very big struggle, just to be honest. I know with Carla, she had like church leaders on a very high pedestal before we started dating. And I taught her very quickly to take people off that pedestal. I taught her, and I'm very proud of this, that we are normal people. Most of us. Okay, Carla may be a bit different, but I'm a normal person. I'm relatable. Okay. No. I mean like, what I mean is Carla is much more holier than I am, all right? Saying it as a compliment for him. Yeah, when he stands in the sun, he has a halo, narcissist. Reflection. Sorry. It was his wife, it wasn't me. It was narcissist. The point is... Yeah, thank you. This has honestly been an ongoing struggle. Carla would know because we've known each other this year for 10 years. It's 10 years since we... So he's sort of seen this journey for me. And relying on God and really pulling into God and not into my own strength to be... I don't want to cry now because I don't have a mic even. I can't speak when I cry. But it has honestly been the most difficult journey for me and one that I'm still learning every single day. I need to learn how to rather lean into the strength of God than into my own strength. And I'd go even go so far as to say, I think that's what the Christian journey is all about. The Christian journey is about getting away from the map and getting to the guide. And it might take you your entire lifetime to realize that God is interested in relationship. God knows you can't do it. He's not silly. He knows. And He knows you're working your fingers to the bone to try and become more like Him in your own strength. He knows that. But I've had to just come before God so many times, and I will continue to come before Him probably till the day that I die, crying out saying, God, I need to rely on the guide more. I'm relying on the map. I'm trying to do it in my own strength too much. And so a while ago, Carla and I had a chat, and he said there's something that he thinks he sees in my life, just some area. And you know, all of us have those areas. If you don't think you have it, then pride's your area, okay? If you were wondering. But maybe as I'm speaking, just think of like, what is the next step that you think God wants to take you on in your life? What is that thing? Is it intimacy with Him? Is it a sin that He wants to deal with? What, like, are you not trusting Him at all? Are you not saved? Maybe that. But what is the next step that God wants to take you in? And so Carla spoke to me about, we sort of had a chat and he said, listen, I think this is the thing, mention a few examples, and we're like, yeah, back and forth, maybe, not so sure, I'll bring it before God. And so I brought this thing before God, and I think I'm so thankful, because normally I'd be on this side, not you guys, this side, right? I'd say, yeah, I'm going to fix it, if it's a problem, I'll fix it. But I think, to an extent, a little bit that I've learned now is to rather say, God, I can't see these things in my heart. I need the guide. I need you to guide me through this difficult time. I need you to show me if there's anything within me. And the beautiful thing about the guide, the Holy Spirit, is He does show us. Not always like we want. Sometimes He's silent for much longer than we anticipate or want Him to be. But He's always in control. He always knows the exact right moment to speak to us. Right? And the voice of God, don't make it too complicated. It can be through the Bible, it can be in your heart, it can be through a person, it can be this morning the voice of God can come to you through my voice. Don't complicate it. But I knew that I needed the voice of God. I needed to hear God. God, what are you saying? Is this a thing? And are you, what must I do? And I prayed about it and I brought it before God. And when was it? A week or two ago? The dream that I think, yeah. I woke up just before 5 in the morning, heart racing, out of breath, and God had given me a dream. He'd spoken to me.
And he showed me that thing that Kala and I spoke about. He actually showed me that that's a reality. And he spoke to me about my future. Now I'm trying to take a few things in my own hand. And he showed me, you are not ready for the next step that you want to go. And he showed it to me. And it was so powerful. When God speaks to you, it's like something you cannot explain to people. There's just in a very short nutshell, in the dream, and I woke up and I knew exactly what it meant and how God spoke to me. In the dream, Carla and I lost a baby. And the emotion that I experienced through that dream, it was almost traumatic. It was like really, it hurt, like it was a very difficult emotion to experience. And as God spoke to me and he showed me what that baby actually means and something I don't want to explain the whole thing. But as God showed me what it meant and I knew that I had to lay something down, there was something I was taking in my own strength and I'm still laying it down before God, I experienced the exact same emotion that I experienced in the dream. It's one of loss. It's one of, God, I've held on to this thing, but now I know it's not you. For now, I'm laying it down. And that's the beautiful thing of it. If we lean into God, if we come close to God and we say, God, you are my guide. I can't do it in my own strength. Only in intimacy with you can I actually change. Can I become more like you? God is faithful and he speaks to us and he shows us and he guides us. It won't always be easy, but it's much better than trying it in your own strength. You see, I've had many of those experiences where 5 years of counseling wouldn't have done it. But one moment of being with the guide and him showing me, that got me out of the forest. Right? Where years of sitting with someone or reading books or actually, and I'll explain this now, or just like looking for the answers in the Bible might not have done it. But one moment of God using different ways, even the Bible, speaking to me and speaking into my heart, that changed it for me and that got me. That is the Holy Spirit taking you by the hand and saying, this is the way to go, now walk in it. Right? But it's not a passive thing. It's not like, okay, I'm just going to sit back and relax and God will sort out all my issues. He'll do it for me. It's not passive at all. You need to turn away from your own strength and lean into God. Get to God and say, God, in intimacy with you, that's how I'm going to conquer. That's how I'm going to do it. John 15, verse 5 to 8. This is it. This is God speaking, Jesus speaking. I am the vine, you are the branches. Listen to this. It's active. It's not passive. If you remain in me and I in you, meaning remaining in something, it's an active thing, right? You need to remain in God. You need to remain with the guide. You can wander off, but you need to pull yourself back and say, well, remain with the guide. You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's what Kala mentioned this morning in the scripture as well. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. God wants you to bear fruit. If you were a tree, he wants you to be a lavish tree that bears much fruit for people to come and pick the fruit off and enjoy of your life because God did something in you. But a tree cannot produce fruit. It cannot in its own strength. It can try as hard as it wants. It cannot. It can't do it. The only way that a tree can produce fruit or a branch can produce fruit if it's connected to the tree, if it's connected to the roots, if it gets nourishment from the roots. And the same thing, you can do no good thing. Maybe on the outside, but you can change nothing on the inside if you do not stay connected to the vine, if you do not stay intimate, if you do not remain in God and his words remain in you. But if you do that, you will bear much fruit for God's glory. And he will bring change about in your life. And so one thing that I've really learned is, in times of saying, okay, God, I need to grow in my relationship with you, and in pulling close to God, in saying, God, I want to remain in you, the beautiful thing that he does, and I've learned and I'm still learning, again, I'm being really not just fake humble, but really humble in saying this, I'm still learning to trust that in that place that God will speak to me and to actively seek his voice in the times of being close. And those of you who weren't at the gathering on Saturday past, I think the message will be... Wednesday, sorry. Last Wednesday. I think the message will go online. Please go listen to it. It's MC. It was her sharing lessons from life, and one of it was on the voice of God. And she realized, and she told the testimony of how she tried to change things, and she couldn't. She was just stuck in, this is who MC is. It's never going to change. But the moment she realized and God spoke to her, things changed in her life. And so, in the Bible, one, I don't know, maybe someone will tell me that I'm wrong, but as far as I understand this, there's two different words for the word in the Bible, okay? When God speaks to us, right? I am right, thank you. But there is the Logos word of God, and then there is the Rhema word of God. And those two things are important. And a while ago, it's like my eyes opened up to this thing, and I'm like, oh God, I don't just want to get close to you to get the Logos word of God, but I want the Rhema word. I want you to speak to me to guide me, and I'll explain what I mean now. The Logos word of God is just plainly the word of God. It's true, it's not false, but when I pick up the Bible and I read it, it is information. It's perfect. It's good information. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's the Logos word of God, right? That I'm able to do in my own strength. You know that you're able to read the Bible in your own strength, actually, if you want. It's paper. It's got the best stuff in there that you'll ever be able to find. But it's paper with ink on it, to be honest. That's what it is. And in your own strength, you can take matters. I'm going to grow in God. I'm going to get to know this thing as good as anyone else. I'll know it very well. But that's not what's going to guide you out of the storm. It's not what's going to cause you to grow in God. It's when this translates from the Logos word of God to the Rhema word of God, which means the spoken word of God for you in that moment when God makes it alive. That's when it changes. That's when you grow. And you can only hear someone's voice if you're standing close to them. That's the only time you're going to hear it. You can't hear it from far off. You need to come close to hear the voice of God, and not the Logos, but the word of God made alive. Who of you have had this experience? You read the Bible. Yes, thank you. I see that. Please come speak to me afterwards. But if you have had this experience, you can read the Bible and you read through it, and it's fine. It's the Logos word of God. It's good. But sometimes it's like something opens up to you and like, oh my head. How have I never seen that? And like, oh, I'm changed. I'm changed. I see it. And you try and explain it to someone, and like, yeah, I get it. No, you don't. You don't understand. You think you understand, but you have no idea. Because God, what has God done? He's spoken to you. You were close enough for him to speak to you, and he made the Logos word, a Rhema word, he made it alive for you. And we need to be a people that don't take matters into our own hands. When we are faced with a difficulty, we need to say, God, I want to lean into you. I want to hear your voice. Please come make it alive for me. I don't care what package it comes in. Speak to me through a dream. Speak to me through a person. Speak to me through a sermon. Speak to me through whatever, God, but I need to hear your voice. And go listen to MC's thing if there are times of silence, because then God is busy with something already. But we need to come close so that we can hear the heart of God. Say, God, I can't do this on my own. John 6 verse 63 says, the Spirit gives life, but the flesh counts for nothing. And yeah, the words, the Rhema. The Rhema I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and of life. How do I turn away from doing it in the flesh and in the law and in my own power and to the Spirit and of grace and in God's power? They come like this is saying, the words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and of life. So come on, God, please speak to me. I want the Spirit. I want the life. I want you to come and guide me. It's like you're calling out to the guide. I'm in this forest. Please help me. Guide me through this thing. Matthew 4 verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, Rhema, that comes from the mouth of God. How are you going to live? How are you going to stay connected to the vine? There must be words coming from God's mouth to you. You need to stay close to God. And I know this seems like an abstract thing. I remember when I was at high school, someone taught us about the voice of God and coming close and hearing it. And the guy said, all you need to do is stop speaking and listen. And I listened, and nothing happened. I remember he said, no, just keep your mouth shut and just sit and wait for God to speak to you. We were in the school, and I sat and I did not hear the voice of God. I didn't. It wasn't like God then, okay, cool, now you're keeping your mouth shut, now you can give me a chance to speak. It wasn't like that. For me, hearing God's voice is not just sitting still and waiting for it, it's searching for it. It's looking for it. It's saying, God, I want it. I'm praying about this thing. I'm seeking. I'm looking. Come on, I'm looking through the Bible. God, please speak to me. Come, speak to me. I'm speaking to people. I'm speaking with the leaders. Come, God, I'm in this situation, but I need your voice. Come and speak to me. Guide me out of this thing. I cannot live by bread alone, but I need the word that comes from you. Bread is something that we need daily. And so we need God's word daily. We need to seek him daily in intimacy. Last scripture, then I'm going to end. Oh no, let me rather leave that one. But it comes down to the same thing. There's a couple of them. Maybe let me read it. I actually more intended it as a bit of a joke, but it comes down to the same thing. It still says the same thing. So this is a story out of Kala's life again that he told me. So Kala and Naku at one stage, apparently they had a bit of a fight. And he said, okay, Naku, sit down. I'm going to read the word. I'm going to wash you with the... Oh, you weren't fighting? Oh, I thought you were fighting. Okay. You must tell him to tell the story better. Okay, but Kala said he wants to wash Naku with the word. Okay, and just as an explanation, you can read, because this is the scripture, Ephesians 5, verse 26 to 27. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her. Again, sanctification. Having cleansed her with the washing of water with the word. And so you read the Bible over it, which is good. It's not a bad thing.
Great Bible.
Hey?
John 15,
you read over it. But you know what? You can sit your wife down. I can say, Carla, I'm going to wash you with the word now. Sit down and listen and speak to her and read the Bible. But you know what? That's not going to do anything unless that logos...
Unless she's submissive.
Unless she's submissive. Afterwards. to be honest, if it's not going to do anything unless the logos, just the reading of the word, becomes life for her, unless God speaks to her, unless the guy takes and says, this is what it means for you and makes it alive. How hungry are you for that? When last have you sought God for that? When last have you come to a problem in your life or something or an area that you need breakthrough and you need God? You're like, God, I need you. But how often do we just sit back? Because that's also a form of our own strength. Oh, I can't do it, so I'm just going to leave it. But how often have you actually said, but God, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to walk with the God. I'm going to pull in close to the God. God, I need your voice. I need your rhema. I need you to come and speak over me. It's the only way I'm going to get over it, out of this thing. When last did you do that? When last did you face something and you were not arrogant enough, and I'm speaking to myself as well, to think that you can do it in your own strength or can't do it because it's your own strength? And when last did you say, God, I'm facing this thing. I'm boasting in my weakness here. I can't do it, but you can. God, I'm going to be intimate with you. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come in prayer. I'm going to come in worship. I'm going to come in your word. I'm going to come by speaking to people. But God, I need you to come through for me here. When last have you done that? We need to be a people reliant on God and not on our own strength. And we close our eyes. I'm not quite sure how I want us to respond, but I do want us to respond. I don't know if we can get a guitar. Godfrey, if you can maybe grab a guitar for us. I think what I'd like us to do is, you don't have to do it now, but I'm going to ask us all to stand in a moment. And I want you to do this for me. I want you to think of, if you had to ask God, God, what is the next step? Because mostly we know. Mostly we know, like, God is working in something in our life. We're not always sure exactly what, but we know God is doing something. And I want you to think of that thing. Think of what God is doing. And I want you to come before God now with that thing. And start the process of seeking him. It might be that you've strayed so far off that it might take a bit longer than now. That you might need to come to him in repentance. And his door is always open. Jesus Christ died so that you can come to the Father. But then come to him now and say, God, I need you. I'm sorry for relying on my own strength with that thing. And I want to bring it before you. So can we just all stand? Okay, so just in your own words, Godfrey's going to play. If you want, maybe you can even spread out. We're just going to take a few minutes and actually respond to this word. It doesn't help. We just hear it. We hear the logos, but we don't trust God. Make it alive for me. So let's just take a few minutes. Come before God. Bring that thing before him. In your own words, can be in your mind as well, but speak to God and say, God, if I've been relying on my own strength, I want to rely on your strength. Let's do that.